Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast for today. We're so blessed that you join us. We're blessed each and every time you join us because our whole purpose is just to put information out there that allow you to understand that Jesus is returning soon. Amen. Now, Tom Donnan is our brother who's been, he's been on our program several times before, and every time he comes back on, he brings more interesting facts, figures, and basically concerns that every Christian should already be aware of. Unfortunately, just like about everything else that should be of interest to Christians, this information is often ignored instead of shared. I mean, Jesus himself gave hints in Matthew 24 and Revelation and elsewhere about the signs of his soon return, but it seems like it just seems like people want to bury their head in the sand instead of praying, "Come, Lord Jesus." The Christian prayers are like, "Not yet, Lord Jesus." You know, well, help me welcome back to the program to discuss more signs of the times, Tom Donnan. Tom, thanks for coming back on the program today.
Pastor Bob, you know, when we get together, we always have fun. But the thing is sharing God's stories and motivating people to come closer to him and maybe some to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior for the first time. I mean, it doesn't get much more exciting than that.
That's right. I agree wholeheartedly. I was just preaching on Sunday at a local church here, and I told them the same thing. I said, you know, my whole purpose in life is to increase the kingdom of God. I mean, that's all there is to it. Amen.
Awesome. Tom, amen.
I know there's some new developments in Yellowstone. That's what I want to start on. I keep coming back to Yellowstone almost every time we talk, because if it were to blow, it would be one of the most catastrophic eruptions in U.S. history. Now, is there anything new going on with information coming out of Yellowstone that you're aware of?
Yes. Just before the broadcast, the recording that we're doing now, I went in and I took a look at it. I like to go to a person that is called Mary Greerly on YouTube, and she has the tapped-in resources of what's going on there at the park, and she will list it in a way that is really comfortable for people to be able to listen to. And so I was just on there, and yesterday they had a 3.3 earthquake in Steamboat Geyser and Old Faithful area. And so it shows a continued strength in earthquakes. But I guess the big news is that a Steamboat Geyser, which is one that doesn't erupt often, but when it does, it's signaling that there is an increase of activity, and that comes back to Steamboat Geyser. Now, in the past, that they have had years where there's been activity, and they have had decades where there was hardly anything. So when the Earth's mantles are being disturbed, according to the things that I am picking up on and doing the research, is that that's why Steamboat Geyser starts to have increase of activity. Now, the record for eruptions in a single 12-month period is 29, okay? And we are currently at 26 eruptions starting back, I believe, in April or March. And so it is continuing to go off now. It is spectacular. It's not like Old Faithful where it goes off on pretty much a regular interval. It shows up without notice, but when it does, it's spectacular. It could have 5 minutes of eruption and then steam, or it could have water spewing out for a half an hour, going anywhere from 100 feet to 200 or more feet into the air in a constant stream, and then comes the steam. Now, because I have a history in going into generating stations, when you are listening to the steam that is rushing through of the pipelines there, it is absolutely amazing, the intensity. And this is what happens at Steamboat. The steam afterwards is like pressure being released, mm-hmm. and that goes on from anywhere from a half an hour on. So we are seeing unusual activities. And then, of course, I think it was, just last week that they raised the alert level for Yellowstone to high. And so that is being showing that there is a concern of what the activity is going on there.
So what does that mean, alert level is at high? I mean, how many different levels are there?
I try to look at it, you know, and they got words, and they also have colors, and I couldn't determine the color range. But the level, of course, is that the inactive, normal are the ones where people aren't concerned. But then there's a kind of, and I don't know the exact words. I'm sorry. I should have been prepared for this. It would be like unrest. But high means is that the activity is now becoming a concern. Hmm. And so they are showing that the things that are going on there is they're paying attention to. Yeah. And so that is you know, you were talking about how this would affect America. You know, if there should be a minor eruption, well, then that would be okay. But if it was a major eruption, it could be terrible.
Yeah, I've seen like a coverage map. If it was to be a massive supervolcanic explosion, it's something like 1,000 times more powerful than a regular volcano. And the ash in and around the Rocky Mountain area was supposed to be like 3 feet deep, collapsing buildings and, you know, making basically life extinct in that area. And that the ash cloud itself would drift almost all the way to Washington, D.C., where they said it'd be 2 to 3 inches of ash. So between the Rocky Mountains and the east coast of the United States, you got anywhere between 3 feet and 3 inches of ash, which would, you know, the volcanic ash with the sulfur and all that stuff mixed with it reflects sunlight back up into the atmosphere. I mean, so it's not reaching the earth, which brings about global cooling, not global warming. Then you have, you know, the crops would be totally destroyed. Basically, it would wipe out the economy of the United States just from one eruption. And, you know, that's the good side.
Well, yeah.
If it was to be a super catastrophic explosion, you know, you're talking almost a third of the population in the United States would probably die. You know, I mean, that is huge. And how many of the ones that are affected and left alive while all this going on, you know, they would soon die as well because, you know, there's no food. The economy of the U.S. is in shambles, which means no jobs. No jobs means no money. No money means you can't buy supplies for your family. You know, as you were talking about, the electrical substations, they'd be shut down because the wires be collapsing and, you know, there'd be no grid. Basically, you're looking at Mad Max scenario type thing, you know.
Yeah.
So how many people would want to live through something like that? You know?
Exactly. You know, so what we're trying to do is to get people to take a look at the circumstances that are going on around us, not in a doom and gloom, but because, you know, when we have relationship with Jesus Christ, he's going to provide for us. And what comfort is it to know that we're not alone and that he is with us? And mm-hmm. at the same time, we are having these unbelievable signs that are telling us that there are things that are going on. And one of the things that occurred to me just the other day as I was thinking about this broadcast and preparing for it, is that biblical prophecy. Where is the United States in biblical prophecy in the end times?
That's right. No?
And it's not there. And mm-hmm. so I'm beginning to wonder, are we starting to see the elements being introduced into our society, into our lives, into our regions, into the natural resources, to where it contributes to the demise or the decline of the United States as a superpower? And, of course, Yellowstone would be a huge thing. It would be, with no notice, one eruption could change the events of our nation forever.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, that I've researched it as you have, you know, about the U.S. not being in Bible prophecy. Oh, yes, it's there. It's, you know, the wings of a great eagle carrying Israel and all that. Yeah. But isn't it funny that, or funny is not the word, interesting, that, you know, all the great nations of world time are depicted in the book of Daniel, but yet the U.S. isn't there. You know, I mean, it's, yes, we've been a great nation, and notice I had the emphasis on Ben. I think we're on our downhill slide, just like the Roman Empire, you know, peaked and then started down. All major biblical nations followed the same pattern that the U.S. has. And, you know, we've just happened to survive a little bit longer, but I think that was because we are founded on Christian principles, not pagan principles, but we become a pagan nation, you know. And part of that, you can see the you know, what God calls an abomination, it doesn't matter what man calls it, it's still an abomination in God's eyes. And, you know, a good example of that, and I'll probably face ridicule because of all this, but California, you know, talk about Sodom and Gomorrah in the modern day, and look at the judgments, put, you know, what could be declared as judgments coming upon California, right? The fires, the earthquakes, the crime, you know, I mean, you name it, and it is happening out in California right now. What do you think about that?
Well, my heart breaks, you know, because of the things that are happening out there. And you think about the symbolic or the symbolism of the town that started the recent fire, Paradise, and all in Paradise being consumed and lost, and how just devastating that it has been. And so I was thinking about this, you know, and people's lives are just totally destroyed, and people died. And I was watching a clip where there was a woman that had a dash cam, and she was driving through trying to escape the fire. And you heard the panic, you heard the prayers, you heard the desperation in her voice, not knowing if she was going to die or not. And so that was deeply moving. And she did survive. I know that her car had damage, you know, because you could see the fire around the car. And so that brought me to thinking about, what is it, it's Matthew 7, you know, the wise and foolish builder. I was reading that the other day, and it says that Jesus says, if you put my words into practice, you know, you are building your house on a strong foundation. And I believe that the United States has been built on a strong foundation. Yep. But now what we're starting to see is that those building blocks, those important structure that is holding up the foundation, is being chipped away at. And in being chipped away, we are causing different things to happen that has been our hedge of protection. You know, and because of things that either whether it be comfort or ignorance, you know, the decision not to follow in God's ways, we are starting to see that foundation crumbling before our eyes. And of course, here's the fascinating part is that we can watch it in the Midwest, but it's like on TV or on the East Coast. Right. You know, it's not the same as being there and feeling and experience the devastation. So we might not even be moved, you know, emotionally or spiritually. No, but then when you have two devastating hurricanes happen within a short period of time, and now you got these two terrible fires that are going on over there, you know, what's welling up inside of me is the need for love for the individuals that are going on, because as we move away from biblical principles and we move away from the ways of God, we are starting to see this devastation, and it's a, you know, and it's like a natural consequence. You know, if you put a fruit outside when it's below zero, it's going to freeze and it's going to get damaged.
Yep.
You know, you get outside the boundaries of biblical principles and living a life trying not to be, you know, in sin, we have a life that is better and being blessed. But when we go into the sin area, we are now not having the blessings, and we're having more of the consequences. And those things that uphold our society through God's blessings are being removed. And we start to see the decay, which I was looking at this morning also in Matthew 24. In verse 12, it says, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. Okay. That struck me. I didn't realize that, because that, you know, Jesus is telling us, what in the world are we going to see, you know, in the end times? And he's saying is that right there, wickedness will increase. And when we watch the news, we're seeing it every day.
Every day. That's right. That's right. That's right. And the thing is, when you speak out against the wickedness, you're, you know, labeled homophobic or whatever, you know, Islamophobic, or, you know, it just goes on and on. You know, you could step on an ant, somebody would say, oh, you're so mean to the ants. You know, I mean, it's ridiculous what's going on. But at the same time, when you compare the evening news with what you see in the Bible and what we're talking about here today, it makes so much sense. You know, I mean, God says, I've put before you your choice, blessing, cursing, life, death. Choose life. Choose life. He gives you the answer to the test. But yet people say, well, it must be a trick question, you know. give me a break, you know. there's two questions. There's two answers. One question, two answers. One's right, one's wrong. And he says, you know, it's kind of like the teacher in school, you know, if you're stuck on the question, she comes around and kind of like taps on the answer and walks past, you know. Yeah, she doesn't know what she's talking about. You know, that's what people are telling God, you know. Just because that's what the Bible says, that's not the way it's supposed to be. You know, we are so far more advanced than all these people that wrote the Bible 6,000 years ago and stuff. They had no concept of what it's like to live in our day and time. So that, you know, the Bible is just an archaic book. And you just put it on the shelf, and, you know, we'll pass the laws so we're kind to everybody. It doesn't matter what you believe. Yeah. Well, all I got to say is, look at the news. You know?
Yeah.
Judge for yourself, you know. Well, I know personally, growing up in the you know, 50s and 60s and all that, it was a lot better even in the Cold War than it is today. I mean, we never locked our doors at night. You know, we could go off shopping and be gone all day. Our door was still open. You know, I mean, we actually left it. We had a screen porch, so we left the front door open to get the breeze in the house. Nobody bothered. You know, today you lock the door with you inside. Yeah, that's society has gone downhill so fast. And like I said, when I did our opening, you know, a lot of people are saying, well, don't come yet, Lord Jesus, instead of saying, come, Lord Jesus, let's get this thing over with, you know. But and it's not because they don't want Jesus to wait so they can win more souls. It's because, you know, I'm not done living yet. That's what they're really trying to say. I'm just now having fun. I'm retiring in 2 years. I want to be able to retire and travel and all that. Then maybe in 10, 15 years you can come. You know, so selfish. Everything has become about the self instead of about the Lord. Anyway, back on Yellowstone for a minute. Boy, I could preach on this for hours. But,
you know, yeah.
I've seen a quote from the U.S. Geological Survey about Yellowstone, saying that the odds of Yellowstone erupting is actually, and I'm going to read this, 0.00014%. That's lower than the odds of getting hit by a civilization-destroying asteroid. In fact, some scientists say that the supervolcano will never erupt again. So there you got the two extremes. U.S. Geological Survey, a government agency who may or may not be operating in the best interest of the people. We understand that the government wouldn't want panic to erupt. Or you get the scientists who say increased activity means increased chances. So, you know, you have to balance that on both sides. But since we just mentioned being hit by an ELE, end-of-life event asteroid, let's shift gears over to that discussion again. Tyler, there's been thousands of reports of fireballs and meteorites, etc., even just in the past few months. Is this because, from what you've been able to find out, is this because of increased technological advances and to be able to detect these things? Or because maybe we were entering a debris field of some kind that's just a naturally occurring phenomenon? What have you been able to find out about that?
Well, okay, so, you know, the being able to communicate things, of course, has increased. All right, now you have the Meteorological Society where you can now contact them and let them know that you've seen a fireball. And then they ask questions like, did it fragment? Did it have sound? Which means is that it broke the sound barrier and there was a sonic boom. You know, was there impact? And people can go to that site and they can say, yeah, I saw this and this is the evidence of where it was and this is the status that I saw as it passed through the sky. Of course, because of communication, you can get more of that. But as we are moving forward, in my mind, it seems like we are moving into an area of space where there seems to be more debris that we are noticing. And there is, according to the YouTube that I had referenced, is that there is an increase. There's a dramatic increase. All right. So then that also reflects back into the prophecy about wormwood, you know, in Revelation, where there will be an impact, a sizable, noticeable, life-changing impact, like you were talking about, where a third of the waters will change. And so it's almost like a precursor to having these asteroids go by, which I was watching one the other day about NASA saying that there was three that was going to be coming by last weekend. And I thought to myself, this is how critical it's getting to be. I was watching this and I say, wait a minute, you know, it's like 200,000 miles away. Of course, that's a near miss. But right. when you have like on the 18th and 19th, maybe the 20th of October, you had one pass within 10,000 miles, you know, 200,000 miles is a little bit further out, but yet they're still considered a near miss. And three of them went by just this last weekend, according to the NASA link.
Wow. And any of them, I mean, I was looking at one, a video on a near miss. Let's see, I'm trying to get the name of it. I'm probably going to mispronounce this. Something like Umuma, something like that.
Oh.
You know, this thing was huge. I mean, it's, you know, a quarter mile long and only like 100 feet wide or something like that. And they didn't even notice it was coming until it was already past us. Yeah, you know, something that large, and they're spotting these things that is, you know, like size of a car. You know, and they're, you know, a million miles away or 10 million miles away. And they spot, here's one that's huge. And, oh, whoa, what was that that just went past us? You know? I know there's so much debris out there. It's just, you know, unrealistic to track everything. But, you know, they can spot these little tiny things when they're millions and millions of miles away. You know, and then they miss one that, you know, it'd be like, you know, a dog running across the street that you know, stop and you let the dog go past, and then you go ahead and pull out and the Greyhound bus hits you. You know, I mean, how'd you see the dog, but you missed the bus, you know? And that's basically what they're doing, you know? Have you heard anything about that asteroid?
Well, okay. So I think what happens is that we get like all these links and all these things prepared for the radio broadcast, and sometimes they get a little bit mixed or overlap. Okay. Yeah. And so you were just referencing this, you know, in the Hawaiian culture. The first time that I was over there, I was trying to look at street signs. Well, how in the world can you read a street sign when it's got 10 vowels and two consonants? You know, it's like really hard. And so this, it was discovered, this thing that you were just talking about, was discovered. But it is a good size, but it is coming from another part of space and entering into our solar system, into our universe, solar system. And they are saying that this is the first time that they ever noticed something coming from the outside into our solar system. Mm. And so this has got everybody's attention, is to our first visitor, so to speak. And of course, you know, you got all the people talking about, is it something from another civilization, you know? Mm. And they got pictures of it, you know, tumbling. So a tumbling kind of like is more of an asteroid. And you know what? I'll tell you, most of the time, the asteroids are like spheres, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is like a large like pipe.
Yeah, it was referenced like a piece of driftwood.
Yeah. So, yeah, but it was a speed, too. Now, this is pretty fast. Right. At 86,000 miles, an hour?
Yeah. Per hour, yeah.
And that is very fast.
Oh, yeah.
So, of course, but when you're talking about the outer limits of our solar system, then I'm sure they're going to be watching it and which direction it's going. And it has their interest. And, of course, they love that. I love that there's something new that's coming on. And we pay attention to it. And I would like to see the trajectory of where it's going to be going through our solar system. And, of course, the sun is going to be pulling it towards the gravitational pull, pulling it towards the sun. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be fascinating, which brings us back, you know, the Bible talks about having signs and wonders in the sky. And I wonder, you know, some of this is that we see signs and wonders in the sky by the satellites that we send out. I get blown away by looking at pictures of the Martian surface by these rovers that we send out there. You know, this is no small thing, but we get used to seeing it. I mean, it's astronomically unbelievable that we can see the surface of Mars.
Yeah. Yeah.
We forget these things.
Yep. I've been a space junkie my entire life. And, you know, I remember waking up the morning that Scott Carpenter did that suborbital flight, the first U.S. astronaut.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Bob. Unfortunately, we are all out of time for tonight's interview with Tom Donnan. Every time he and I get together, I mean, time just flies because we are like two peas from the same pod. I mean, we support each other. We quiz each other. We're in, you know, just encouraging each other. And Tom's always full of some great information, as you're well aware if you've been following us for any length of time on this podcast. Now, you know, you need to come back tomorrow, because we have more information. We're not finished by any means. You know, we've been talking today about Yellowstone and the odds of that place just wreaking havoc in the United States and across the planet. We talked about fireballs and meteorites and you know, the ability, or if you want to call it inability, of NASA to, you know, adequately track these things. We've talked about several of them near missing the Earth, and we didn't know about it until it was already passed. This thing could have impacted and, you know, just wreaked complete devastation. But what are you going to do? So come back tomorrow. We're going to continue our discussion with Tom Donnan. He has a lot more that he can say, and he is. He'll be telling us all about some more things, you know, about artificial intelligence and the robots and all that. Come back tomorrow. Join us. We conclude our interview with Tom Donnan. Until then, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this: your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.